Okay, let's read James chapter 5, verses 13 to the end of the chapter. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him or her, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he hath committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another, and pray for one another. Pray one for another, that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elias, or Elijah, was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, fervently, earnestly, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. What a passage. What a difficult passage. It's like what Peter said of Paul's writing one time. He writes some things hard to be understood. And so it is with this subject by James. Now, he says in verse 13, is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. If any merry, that means happy, joyful, prosperous, things going well, sing psalms. Now, all of God's people are afflicted. Afflicted. Now, afflicted, the word afflicted means hardship. They go through hardship. It means persecution. This is what the word affliction means. Absolutely. It means mistreatment, suffering, wrongdoing, someone treating you wrongly, and you're under this anguish and trouble because of afflictions. Look at verse 10 here. In verse 10, it says, take, my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering affliction and of patience. All of the prophets suffered affliction, persecution, mistreatment because of the truth, and even death. All of the prophets and all of the apostles but one were martyred or suffered death because of the truth. Look back at Hebrews 11, just all 6 or 7 pages. Hebrews 11, this whole chapter is about that. Hebrews 11, look at verse 24. I love this. Hebrews 11, 24. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God. Rome, to wander in the wilderness of sin and go through troubles and hardships and trials with the people of God and reproach rather than be well known and loved and esteemed by Egypt. This is what this is talking about, affliction. Look at verses 35 and following. It says, women received their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance. They might obtain a better resurrection. Others had a trial of cruel mockings and scourging. Moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, sawn asunder, tempted, slain. slain with a sword, wandered about in sheepskin and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented. So you see, there have been many, many, many. And what did these people do? What did all of these brethren do? And read Brother Mahan's article commentary in the bulletin this morning on the previous verses. We count them happy that endure. What did they do? Well, they called on the name of the Lord. They prayed. That's what James is exhorting us to here. Any among you afflicted, whatever that affliction may be, from whom, wherever it may come from. And I cannot impress upon you strongly enough the need for us to pray, to be constantly, fervently, sincerely, unceasingly praying, calling on the name of the Lord. Do you hear me? If there's anything I can impress upon you more than this, I don't know of. We're not saved if we don't call. And that doesn't just mean saved from sin eternally. That means saved from everything that gives us, that afflicts us, that troubles us, that distresses us. We're saved from distress. We're saved from depression. We're saved from fear. We're saved from doubt. We're saved from worry. We're saved from worldliness. We're saved from temptation. We're saved. We're not going to be unless we call on the name of the Lord. Without Him, we can do nothing. Our Lord Jesus Christ was and is the Son of God. When He lived on this earth as a man, now He's the Son of God. And yet, it says He prayed constantly with strong cryings and tears. It says He was heard in that He feared. Now, if He prayed and needed to pray, where does that put us? In everything. He said men ought always to pray and never quit, never faint. Men, since we're just men and women, fickle, finite, failing, fallible, fallen, liable to sin, liable to do anything. We're liable to do anything. Ask the saints down through the year. Ask them. Since we're so easily tempted, so easily fall to temptation, brethren, call on the name of the Lord. You will fall, and if you don't fall away, it'll be by God's saving grace. Pray in everything, Paul wrote. Was he afflicted? No man since Job more so than Paul. He wrote about it. He was telling men that when I was going back over those things, he said, 3 times I was beaten, 39 stripes, stoned. And he said, pray, men ought always to pray in everything. Pray without ceasing in everything by prayer and supplication. Let your requests be known to God. We need to pray for faith. We need to pray for wisdom. We live by faith. If we don't have faith, and I got to go on, but if we don't live by faith, we're going to pay attention to what we see, and it's going to drive us to despair. We're going to look at, you understand what I'm saying? If we don't live by faith on God's promises, believe Him and trust Him, that means in spite of ourselves. If we don't, we're going to look around us and it's going to drive us to despair. We need prayer for faith. We need to pray for faith. We need to pray for wisdom. We're just natural born fools, and we're going to be fools. We need to pray for patience. That's this whole book of James, isn't it? Patience, to wait. Guidance, courage, mercy, love, grace. None of these things we have by nature. And He's the God of all of them. And we got to ask. He says in verse 13 in our text, if any merry, that means any happy, any no afflictions, no troubles at the present time. Now, that's a dangerous time. That's probably the most dangerous time. In fact, David said, it's good for me to be afflicted. I learned your statute. He said in Psalm 73, Psalm 73, he said, Lord, look at the troubles we're going through. Look at the troubles your people are going through. The world's not going through. They don't have these troubles. He said, you know, went into the sanctuary. Now learn. In the last, I think it's the last verse, he said, oh, it's good for me to draw nigh unto the Lord, that I might learn your statute, that I might learn. Afflictions. Is any merry, though? If any happy, no real afflictions at the time, no troubles, he said, sing psalms. Sing unto Him that has delivered you temporarily from those troubles. Because if you don't, you'll take Him for granted. You take His mercy and grace for granted, and you'll forget God. Prosperity causes people to forget God, God's people. That's what the psalmist said. Deliver two things I ask for, deny them not to me. Don't give me riches, lest I forgive you, and don't give me poverty, lest I steal and bring reproach upon you. So, if any is afflicted, and you know, afflictions often make us bitter. Anybody? Angry. Against who? God. Are you honest? I'm trying to be. Many of the saints down through the years got angry at God. They knew God did this and they couldn't understand it. Pray. Pray that you'll pray like, be like Job in all his afflictions. He sinned not with his mouth, didn't charge God foolishly. Afflictions. Any afflicted? Or merry or happy or prosperous? We tend to forget God like the children of Israel. He warned them, didn't he? He warned them, and you're going to build houses and you're going to be free from troubles and, you know, dwelling in the land of promise, and you're going to forget me and you're going to become like the world, and then I'm going to have to start whipping you. Is any sick, verse 14, any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick. The Lord shall raise him up. If he hath committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Any sick, call for the elders. Well, all of God's people suffer afflictions, troubles, tribulations of mind, soul, and body. This is speaking expressly of sickness of either body or mind. There are sicknesses of mind. Any sick among you? All of God's people suffer sickness. All of them. Some are sick more than others, according to God's purpose. Others are afflicted and persecuted more than others, depending on who it is and why and God's purpose. But some are often sick in body for a long time. Now, this is in spite of what modern false health and wealth religion teaches. Health, this modern Pentecostal so-called holiness so-called religion today tells you that God doesn't want you to be sick, that God doesn't want you to be poor, that God wants you to be healthy and wealthy. That is a lie. In fact, you must truly be poor and needy to love this gospel. And you must feel something of this awful sickness or disease called leprosy in you to appreciate this gospel. Some right now don't know what I'm talking about. But all of God's people do. But God's people often actually go through sicknesses of body, some for long periods of time. Many, many, many eminent, that is well-known and useful, vitally useful, saints. People that the church thinks we can't do without this man or this woman have been sick even unto death and have died from that sickness. And there are too many to name. And I can name just a few in the scriptures. Elisha, arguably the greatest prophet in the scripture. He died from sickness. What was it? The scripture doesn't say. It may have been cancer. Daniel was sick. Paul, he suffered with an affliction all his life. And he asked the Lord three times. Now listen, in context here. He asked the Lord three times to remove this thorn in his flesh. He had a problem, an affliction, a trouble, a sickness. The Lord would not remove it. All the Lord would tell him was, what did he say? My grace is sufficient for thee. Epaphroditus, the pastor at, I think it's Thessalonica. Timothy, the pastor at Ephesus, just constantly troubled with some kind of stomach ailment. The Lord wouldn't remove it. Paul told him, drink wine for it. Many of our own modern day brothers and sisters. Well, here he says, let him call, or her, whoever it is that's sick, call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him or her, anointing them with oil. Let them call. This tells us that that particular person is to call for the elders of the church. Let that person who's sick call for the elders. Elders meaning either the pastor, if there is one, and the men of the church are older believers. These are people who are sound in the faith. Now, strangely, this doesn't happen very often. People don't do this. I don't know why. Because Scripture tells us to do that. I've only been asked to do this one time in 30-some years. But it says, now I'll try to tell you what this means in a minute. It says, the prayer of faith, verse 15, shall save the sick. The Lord shall raise him or her up. They've committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Let them anoint this person with oil. This means literally to anoint with oil. Olive oil. There's only one kind of oil in the Scripture. Olive oil. Now, there is no such thing as holy anointing oil. There's no healing properties in oil. Let me make that clear. It's like baptism, the Lord's Supper. There's nothing holy. There's no thing that has any healing qualities at all. And this oil is symbolic. I have mistakenly said in the past that there's only two symbols to be used, and that's baptism and the Lord's table. But this is a symbol. It's anointed with oil. And we're not to use it flippantly and carelessly, but in this situation, he says, bring this oil and anoint this person. And as I said, I've been through this with someone. Another brother and I did it for someone. And this oil represents the Holy Spirit, like baptism, the Lord's table, represents the Spirit of God and His grace that we need anointed. We need Him to apply this to our bodies, souls, and spirit. Well, it says, the prayer of faith shall save the sick. Effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. I thought about Lazarus. Do you reckon the Lord prayed for Lazarus? I mean, before he got sick. always. Every day. All of it. Lazarus died. Before he did, the Lord said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of the Lord. I quoted that to your dad yesterday on the phone. Regardless of what happened, it's not unto death. It's not. Do you hear me? God's people don't die. They don't. Our Lord said that. He that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Do you believe this? If we really believe this, Andy and I were talking about this on the way over here. If we really believe this,
we wouldn't have a worry in the world. Come what may.
As Spurgeon said, the thing we fear the most is really the best thing that could possibly happen to us. If we really believe. And our Lord said, I am the resurrection. Well, our Lord prayed for Lazarus. He said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God. But Lazarus died. He got sick, and he died from that sickness. But the Lord saved him. Verse 15, the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord raised him up. Didn't he? You say, preacher, that's not what that's talking about. Well, yes, it is. Oh, yes, it is. His words are first spiritual. He said, my words are spirit and they're life. In fact, the Lord raised Lazarus three times. How many times does he have to show us that this is healing? This is raising. He raised him three times. He was dead in sin and he was born again. Gave him life. Then he died this time and he raised him. Then he died again. Something. And then three times. But the fact that, and Lazarus was loved by the Lord. Oh, the Lord loves Lazarus and Mary and Martha. Was Mary and Martha, were they useful, vital members of the church at that time? Oh, my. They were people like Dorcas, who died. Remember the story of Dorcas? The Lord raised her. In fact, you know, when the Lord came to the grave and wept over Lazarus, most of the brethren believe he wept because he's going to have to bring him back to this place. He wept. I've got to bring him back. Dorcas, there have been so many eminent, vital, needful, fruitful members of the church that God, they got sick and God took them. My sister, my parents' daughter, only daughter, Carrie's mother, if you had asked the church at 13th Street, who was one of the most vital, necessary, useful, fruitful, helpful, like Dorcas, the person that took everybody in, that did that, that fed the saints, housed the saints for years, they would say, Becky Caulfield. That's just, don't take her. And the men went and anointed her with oil, and she asked for the saints to come, the elders come and anoint her with oil, and they did. And this has happened often. There have been men like Charlie Payne and my growing up. Bill Borders, men that were just salt of the earth, just the backbone of the church. And this church, Joe Park, song leader, he's just a little over a year older than me. And it really is coming home to me. 62 years old, that's prime. It really is. Song leader, backbone of this church, principal person involved in bringing me here. Got sick with cancer. Boy, it was that quick, wasn't it? Anybody but him. The Lord took him. Now it says here in verse 15. So, people, you cannot apply this perfectly and completely. I tell you what, the Lord will save the sick. Verse 15, save them from despair. Save them from fear. Save them from distress. You know, the thing we need saving from, delivering from more than anything else is fear of death. Isn't that what Scripture says our Lord came to deliver us, who all our lifetime was subject to fear of death? He came to deliver us from the fear of death. And I've seen it. We saw it. And we have seen it, that these saints on their deathbed didn't fear. And your dad's, the last words I remember him say, to me anyway, was, whether I go or whether I stay, it's all right. I'm standing on the rock. Linda Stoniker. Not afraid. Minda's mother, 54 years old. She asked her mother, you afraid to die? No, why should I be? The Lord promised me. He does save us from that, doesn't it? That's what we need saving from more than anything else. And some have been healed. But we can't, you know, this is according to God's purpose. Some have been healed. Brother Todd Nyberg. I was by his deathbed. He was dying. But the Lord raised him up. We prayed for him. And by the way, do you not think all of the elders of all of the churches and all the members of all of the church were praying for these people? Absolutely. Well, what happened?
Well, it wasn't the Lord's will, was it?
We had him long enough. And he said, I want him. Can I say it that way? That's exactly what it is, like the Song of Solomon. He's the Beloved. He said, I want him now. But the point being, it's the Lord's will. It's up to Him, completely up to Him. But some have been healed. And the reason we pray, and the reason the Lord tells us to pray, I knew I was going to have to spend two messages on this. I knew I'd get caught. Oh, well. I knew that not one message could adequately cover that at all. We're going to talk about confessing our faults and conversion of sinners. The point is, we're to pray. And this thing of prayer, you see, is calling on God, beseeching the Lord. We need His hope. We need His help. We need hope. We need deliverance, we need salvation, we need healing, we need everything. Everything we get is from Him, and we call upon Him. Well, if we don't call on Him and someone is healed, you know who will get the credit? Doctors. Medicine. Luck. Chance. Right? That's what happens to the world. People are healed and they thank the doctor and they praise the doctor and nearly worship the doctor and technology, right? This is why I hate this. I despise this. That this modern world talking about cancer, about a person beating cancer. She beat cancer. I beat cancer. You see these posters of people standing. I beat it. Me and Roanoke Memorial, we beat this thing. I hate that. That means we're strong, we've got through it, and those that didn't, they just weren't strong enough, right? I despise that. Anybody's healed, God heals them. Hezekiah, the king, was sick, and the Lord told him he was going to die. The Lord told him he was going to die. To get your house in order, you're going to die. And he prayed earnestly. And Isaiah came. and prayed for him. And anointed him, put a plaster of figs, mind you. Figs. Now, don't go run out buying figs. But he put figs on him, and the Lord healed him. And he lived 50 more years. Did figs save him? Did Isaiah's prayer save him? Who healed him? God did. God said, I'm going to give you. He said through Isaiah, God, I'm going to give you 15 more years. I'm going to do this. But Isaiah put this plaster of figs on him. We don't despise means. We're thankful for it. Thankful for technology and all that. People living longer now because of technology. That's a denial of the gospel, of the truth, isn't it? That a man's bounds are set, his number of his months are with. That's a denial of that. Nevertheless, God uses means, but we don't trust the means. We don't praise the means. We don't praise the doctor. We praise the great physician who gave men minds, their minds, and this technology and all that. So I'm going to have to quit right here. But this prayer of faith saved the sick. And somebody is 70 in their 70s. They're in their 80s, and they get sick. You know, you're never ready to let go of somebody, are you? Are you ever ready to part with somebody? Your dad is 71. You don't want him to go, do you? Brother Dale, you know, right now, he has cancer. We've been thinking about him, praying for him. But he's 70. 310. What did the Lord say? You got 310. Maybe. But anything more than that, 40 by reason of strength, that's God's will too. But when you get close to 70, you need to be, it's time. It's time. And we do pray over, but we think we don't want to let go of him. We don't want him to leave. But according to the Lord's will, it's time. It's time. And this is the thing we need to pray for more than anything else is, Lord, would you please show me that to die is gain. To be absent from the body, oh. No more tears, no more pain, no more suffering, no more sin, no more affliction, no more trouble. But the Lord raises people up, doesn't he? According to his will, according to his purpose. And that's according to his wisdom and his purpose. That's the best that I told you it was difficult, but that's the best I can do with that. All right.